Turning now to art, Lucinda Devlin is among the early explorers of color photography. She used her camera to examine the edges of human experience. It began with pleasure and pictures of honeymoon suites, which led, as you will hear, to pain, operating rooms, and execution chambers. Her work stands out all the more because her photos rarely include people. A collection of Lucinda's work is currently on display at the Wetherspoon Art Museum in Greensboro. The exhibit is called Lucinda Devlin Sightlines, and it runs through Sunday, April 23rd. And here she is to talk more about it. Lucinda Devlin, welcome to State of Things. And also with us, Elaine Gustafson. Elaine is the curator of collections at the Wetherspoon and helped organize this exhibit of Lucinda's photography. Welcome back to you. Good to have you. So tell us more about this work, Lucinda. Your work, you work in unique styles. Tell us about color photography, because you sort of explored this and made the argument that it was art at a time when it was controversial. Tell us about that.
It was controversial at that time. Art photography was black and white, and people like Ansel Adams and Edward Weston and so forth were the main proponents of the black and white style. And color photography was considered more commercial and not appropriate for art making, but there were early proponents of it, certainly even before William Eggleston's exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art. But that show, which was in sometime in the 70s, was really probably the first show that got national attention of color photography as art. It was exhibited at the Museum of Modern Art, so that was a major venue at that time.
What got you? You are attracted, as any student of your work will easily see, to interior spaces. You love those. Tell us about what attracted you in the first place.
Well, when I was first going to go to college, I was an interior design major. I don't know why. but I was interested in interiors. I had made little interiors for myself as a child. And so I think that's probably where it came from. And when I began photographing, that was my natural inclination to photograph interior spaces without people. At the time, when I was younger, I was somewhat shy, and it was easier for me to not have to directly deal with people, and I really didn't have much feel for that. When I work, I tend to put my camera on a tripod, and I take a long time to do it, and that just suited my personality, I think.
Elaine, this whole collection is color photography, and it spans decades, really. Tell us about, take us back a little bit to that argument between color and black and white and kind of what was behind that, and then maybe you can tell us a bit about this particular exhibit at the Wetherspoon.
Sure. As Lucinda said, in the 70s, when she was just starting her career, color photography had been used for commercial advertising, and most art historians and practitioners felt that color was so intense and competitive, and that it would take away from the form or the narrative. And so they stuck with black and white. And so Lucinda really went against the grain by exploring this in the 70s and is really a pioneer of that. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this show at the Wetherspoon, because she is a pioneer in the field.
Well, Lucinda, tell us about your earliest work. There's a collection called Pleasure Ground. Tell us more about the collection itself.
Well, they are places that are that people go to for some kind of pleasure. It can be different kinds of pleasure. That particular picture that you're showing is of a honeymoon resort. My then husband and I went to some of these places, and so that I could photograph. And not particularly pleasant experiences, but
it's supposed to. It's bright, luscious red. It's dripping in red eroticness.
I know. And but you know, when you're actually there.
Okay. But and something about it. But tell us what grabbed you about it then, as a work of art, a photo.
Well, when I went to, this was Pocono Palace in Pennsylvania, and I went there specifically to photograph this heart-shaped tub, and I went with bubble bath and all kinds of things that I was going to do to try to photograph the tub. And ultimately, you know, I finished, we spent the night. The next morning I got up and I thought, I gotta do one more picture. And so I put the camera in the tub, and it's actually facing up looking at a mirror. So you're seeing a mirrored reflection in that photograph. If I had not taken that extra few minutes the next morning, I would not have had a picture from that whole experience. And I won't go into the rest of the experience because it's too long, but it was...
And?
But I really, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have had a picture.
Wow. It's a brilliant picture. And I don't know if I could make love in a place called the Pocono Palace, but I suppose I'll give that some thought.
But you're on your honeymoon, so, you know, maybe there's more.
Wouldn't matter where. Right. Let's take a look at this next one. Tell us about this next one now.
This is called the Moby Dick Room. And
oh boy.
There were, I think that there are still hotels and motels like this around that have these themed rooms. And so this one was up in Minnesota, and it was a Moby Dick themed room. And so, you know.
Be the Baleen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead. So describe it for us.
Well, it's the mouth of a whale that is open, and that's where you take your bath in the whirlpool bath. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, made of, obviously, gunite, which is the same kind of material that's used for swimming pools.
That's great. See, one of the things that I notice about your photography is that it, and I try to come up with a better word for this, but wonderfully disorienting. I'm never quite sure which way to hold it, and not in that modern, you know, abstract expressionism way in which it wouldn't matter. It's clear that there are focal points, but is that something that you strive for? If I didn't know what this was, there's something beautiful about the image, something arresting about the image, and yet not quite, I don't know what it is.
Well, maybe just that's a failing of you.
I haven't gone to enough Moby Dick rooms, quite clearly, or I'd know right away. It's beautiful, and the image, but it allows for me to imagine a lot more space around it and enjoy the way the space is arranged without having a kind of concrete narrative to go with it.
Well, I guess that's one of my hopes when one looks at my photographs, that basically I want you to be drawn into the spaces because they are built for human beings to have some kind of activity in. And there, so I really want you as the viewer to be drawn into the space, think about what that feels like, you know, what kinds of accoutrements or materials exist there. So I guess that to some degree I'm successful.
Well, and then you there are places that you have also photographed that you don't want me to feel too close to, and this mm-hmm. would be corporal arenas. Tell us about mm-hmm. that collection.
And that's upside down.
So there you go. That's what I'm...
The corporal arenas are all about places where the human body is acted upon in some way. In pleasure ground, the human interaction is voluntary. You go there because you're looking for some kind of pleasurable experience. In corporal arenas, it's less voluntary. In this particular picture, it's of a gross anatomy lab, so obviously the persons are dead who are in there. But not all of the spaces are like that. There are places where you go to have some kind of perhaps medical procedure or massage or something where the body is somehow being acted upon. You have some control over it. In that you choose generally to go there if you're going to an operating room or something like that. But you still have to be more passive than you would be, say, in the pleasure ground pictures.
And certainly much more passive if you're in the gas chamber in the state of North Carolina.
It's North Carolina's
mm-hmm. gas chamber.
Yes. The Omega Suites is the series that picture is from. And that series grew out of Corporal Arenas, where I was looking at, in Corporal Arenas, these places that you're more passive to the ultimate passivity, where you have no control. If you're going to be executed, you have no control over that. And to me, that, Corporal Arenas pictures were frightening enough to me. In thinking about going to any place that's any kind of medical procedure, that's somewhat frightening, the kinds of materials and accoutrements of the space are cold and forbidding in some way. And then to move into the Omega Suites where it's no control whatsoever and the kind of fear that would engender.
May I just say that I appreciate the brilliance in the naming, because if you have, you know, the Pocono Palace, which is the pleasure place, and I know that this is your name, Omega Suites, which also sounds inviting, but of course quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Brilliant stuff. I want to ask Elaine a question about Lucinda's place in the world of photography and photographic art.
Well, as I said, she's a pioneer in color photography and has been working in the field for 50 years. She has a very strong reputation, is known very well abroad, and has exhibited in Italy and Germany and other places. But we were fortunate to put together this exhibition, which shows all 8 series, and it's the first time that all her bodies of works have been exhibited together.
And we are lucky enough, Elaine, to have you as a resident here in Greensboro, right? You're living here. And I'm sorry, Lucinda.
Yeah.
You've been here for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you both for being on the program. Tell us, and you gave us an idea, so representation will have pieces from all of the collections at the Weatherspoon.
Right, and it's on view until the 23rd of April.
Lucinda Devlin and Elaine Gustafson. Lucinda, a photographer, Elaine, the curator of collections at the Weatherspoon Art Museum in Greensboro, talking about an exhibit of Lucinda's photography at the museum, on exhibit and on display through Sunday, April 23rd. We have all of that pictures as well at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you so much for being on the program. Just ahead, the music of Abigail Dowd, and we'll hear that and a sample right here as we go into our break and come back with Abigail.